This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand.
I'm Alex Chadwick, joined again by our senior producer, Steve Proffitt, here to help share some of your letters, dear listeners. Steve.
Beginning with reaction, Alex, to the conversations we've been having this week about the Geneva Conventions and the debate over how to treat terrorism suspects, Doug Inglis of Charlotte, Michigan, notes that if this country really followed the terms of the agreement, then, Alex, you wouldn't have had to ask the question, what exactly are the Geneva Conventions?
Because, Mr. Inglis writes, each of the four conventions contains a clause obligating the signatories, quote, to include the study thereof in their programs of military and, if possible, civil instruction, so that the principles thereof may become known to all their armed forces and to the entire population.
And listener Ted Flanagan was astounded by the news we reported yesterday that the CIA had taken a Canadian citizen suspected of terrorism to Syria, where he was held for about a year.
Syria? Mr. Flanagan exclaims and continues, what do we think of Syria? What a boneheaded deal with the devil.
We featured a couple of reports about childhood obesity recently. On Monday, we reported on a debate in the medical community over whether calling overweight children obese affects the way they're treated by doctors, by their parents, and by their peers.
Samantha McGuire of Martinsville, Indiana writes, the problem with the term obese is that it labels the person rather than describing the condition. She says one should not say that girl is obese, but rather that girl has obesity.
And NPR's Patricia Naimond reported last week on a study that showed programs aimed at combating the epidemic of overweight kids are not very effective. Richard Padgett of Reston, Virginia, was happy with the report, but happier with a specific use of language in it.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, he writes, noting that Patricia Naimond talked about getting kids to eat healthfully.
Mr. Padgett goes on, I think this is the first time I've ever heard someone not improperly use the adjective healthy when describing the word eat. Thank you again.
Good work, Patty Naiman.
And finally, Alex, comments on a review we ran last week about a collection of classical music called Bedtime Beats.
I like that. This is supposed to lull you to sleep. I like listening to that.
Right, and Beverly James wrote to say she listens to our show during her lunch hour. She writes, naughty day to day. I was nodding off at my desk. Shame on you.
But several listeners were upset with the way our reviewer Sarah Bardeen referred to the title of one piece of music on the album.
She called a Mozart piece, his Piano Concerto No. 21, Mozart's Elvira Madigan. Now, this is the title as it's listed on the CD, and it's a popular way of referring to this piece. Popular with some, but not with a couple of our listeners.
Mozart never heard of Elvira Madigan, which was a Swedish movie from 1967, writes John Allen.
And from Lawrence Westall, if I were Mozart, I'd come back Jacob Marley style and haunt people who call it Elvira Madigan until they stop. He concludes, the man died a pauper. Hasn't he suffered enough?
Okay. Well, we end our letters segment to the strains of Mozart's Piano Concerto No. 21.
Thanks to all who wrote us. Keep those letters coming. Just go to our website, npr.org, and click on the Contact Us link.
Thank you, Maestro Steve Proffitt.
You're welcome, Alex.